And just doing what my dad was talking about is really just all about being hospitable and showing love, which is what we're talking about today, so it really fits. But I think one of the things that works about CSA, it is the thing that works about CSA, and it's not the fact that we have really nice land or that, like, I'm a soccer coach and I do it for a living. It's really just because we are different than what people usually get in every other soccer thing, and it's the fact that we show a different type of love. And it's not like there's a lot of really good people who care like a lot about kids, who do a lot of good things, but if, you know, they don't have the love of God, it's a totally different ball game. And so that's what we're really trying to do. I think you guys know that. But yeah, 1 Corinthians 13:5-6 is what we're talking about. If you could turn there. Right. If anybody wants to read that, you can go ahead and do so.
5 and 6?
Yeah.
Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth.
Yeah, so if you're a title person, that's what Jason would say. The title for this is How to Treat People with Charity in Our Present World and Fallen State. So we live in a world, we all know this, we kind of just talked about it, in a world where it's hard to love people. Like, people don't make it easy to love them, just in general. We don't make it easy for people to love us. And Brady was talking about charity. I didn't get the chance to listen to the teaching before this, so I'm not sure. Maybe I'm stepping on somebody's teaching. But all of us know what charity is. It's love, but it's a different type of love. It's God's love. It's unconditional love, and I'd say it's a correct type of love. I think that's a fair statement. And so Paul spends this whole previous chapter, and he's talking about spiritual gifts and all the things that God can do through people, and the qualities that God gives people. But then he makes sure to say and emphasize that without charity, I think we all know this, that all of those talents that he talks about, they literally amount to nothing. He says that they amount to nothing. It's like, I'll read this here real quick. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as of sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Right, and it goes on and keeps saying that, we're aware. But I don't think it's an accident. No, nothing in the Bible is an accident. How much he is emphasizing that if it doesn't matter that if we're serving God, if we're not serving God the right way and not in the right heart. And we've had a lot of, me and David were just talking about this, right? There's a lot of people who want to do good things, and maybe they think they want to do good things for the right reasons, right? But they're not doing it, and they're not going about it out of the right heart in the right way. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And this means to be effective and to be the good minister, we have to reflect the love that God has given to us. And that's what we're supposed to do. So people don't care what you know until they know that you care. That's something we talked about in a class in HBI. And that's something that's really stuck with me, too. And it's something I've really realized with Bible study and just, working with people, is that people in, the world, there's a lot of people who know a lot of stuff. And there's a lot of people who think they know all the right stuff or the stuff or the truth or, the standard. And at the end of the day, nobody really cares what you know until they know that you actually care about them, and and they know that what you know is the best for them, and you're just trying to help them. And that's what people see when they see the love of God in us. And if we have the knowledge, we must also have the discernment and the testimony to use the knowledge, or the knowledge is just lost on us, right? If we don't have the love, we know that knowledge puffs up, but charity edifies. And if we don't have that charity, then that knowledge doesn't mean anything. And we go to a church where there's a lot of knowledge available. Right, you can learn as much as you want to here. Genuinely, if you want to know things, you can go and learn them. I think all of us know that, but that doesn't do us any good if we don't want to know things for the right reasons, right? And so let's get into these descriptions of charity. So it kind of tells us how to treat people with charity and descriptions of charity. So that first one is doth not behave itself unseemly. So men who reflect the love of God, they have prudence and understanding. It's kind of what I was talking about before. They're gonna behave the correct way. Like I said before, charity is the correct type of love. It's the type of love we should have. And they're going to behave that correct way with charity. And if we all have the love of God, we should behave like it, and our actions should reflect how the lost, that our actions do reflect how the lost world sees God and other Christians. So charity is the only right and correct type of love. And Romans 1 talks more about unseemly affection. So that's what it's saying. It's the right type of love, the correct love, and I'll talk more about that. But that word unseemly, there's not a whole lot. It's like homely, it's appropriate, it's the correct. It's unseemly would be inappropriate. So charity is the appropriate type of love. But let's turn to Romans 1:27 real quick. I was looking for where this word unseemly was used again. It was really interesting. Because here in Romans, it's talking about love and unnatural love. And there's a mixed company here, so I don't want to get too much into that. But I think we all, none of us men, we don't want to have that unnatural love, right? We want to have the natural love. It's more than the natural love. We want to have the correct love. And so this is a description of love that's unnatural. And likewise also unto men, Romans 1:27, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their own lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, that word unseemly. It's not appropriate. It's not correct. It's not right. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was met, right? And then it goes on to talk about how God gives people over to reprobate minds, right? If we're not using that right type of love, then God's going to be like, all right, I'll give you over to this whatever's in your heart, and whatever you're working out of, you're gonna live in that, and that's what the thing you're going to dwell in. And it may not be what is being described there in that passage. It may be self-love. I mean, you may not have love for another person you should not have love for. Maybe it's self-love, right? You're doing stuff out of the pride of your heart, or a love for yourself, or you want to make a name for yourself. And we talk about that too in counseling and discipleship, and wanting to do things for the right reasons, right? You make the type of disciple you are. And if you're not doing things out of the right heart, then you're going to produce more people with bad hearts, and that's not what we want. And so you want to have the right type of love, the right type of affection. And then that next one is seeketh not her own. All right, so this aspect of charity has been really evident to me recently. So seeketh not her own. The best way I've heard this described and I've stated is this, is love with contingencies, expectations, or codependence is not charity. I'll say that one more time. Love with contingencies, expectations, or codependence is not charity. There are many needs and expectations in our lives we make the burden of other people, but no one can meet all of our needs aside from God himself. So there's a couple ways you can look at this. I read a book for HBI, and it's one of the best books I've ever read. The best book's the Bible, obviously. But it was a really good book. As far as good books go, it was a really good one, you know. It's called DNA Relationships by Gary Smalley. I'm sure some of you have read it. But it was all about just the type of relationships we have and having the right type of relationships, right? And this is something that's been really like evident in my life recently, and the type of relationships I've tried to have. So God created us with a dependency, a supernatural dependency, right? We are created as dependent people. And as men, we really, really want to be so just self-sufficient. We want to be strong. We don't want anybody to take care of us. But the problem is, we were created to depend on a creator. Like, that is how we are made. And we naturally gravitate towards being dependent, but such dependency was only reserved for God alone. And I didn't come up with that phrase. That's from the book. I couldn't come up with that. But that's the truth, is that we go into very many relationships, whether it's romantic or even like ones with each other, and we expect people to take care of us. We expect people to fulfill us. We expect people to complete us. And the only person who can complete you is God. And everybody is born with a hole in their heart, they're missing something, right? It talks about in Romans 1, 2, it talks about how the creation, they know that there is a creator. And that's where that unnatural affection comes from, is when we start to try to put stuff in that hole that isn't God, right? And just some examples of this in my life is, I've been in relationships, and like, if this person makes me happy, right? If this person fulfills my desires, my wants, my needs, then I'll invest in this relationship. Then I'll know it's the right relationship. If this person makes me happy, then I'll know it's right. And that's just not true, because people don't make people happy. They can give you joy, and there's stuff people can satisfy, and that's biblical. But at the end of the day, the person who is the thing who is supposed to fulfill the desires of your heart is God. And romantic relationships, that's an easy one. I think we can all, picture you want to get home from work and have dinner made, maybe that type of thing. I have no idea what that's like. I don't have a wife, and that's a little bit harder for me to picture that. But right, even in like my, like I said, I want to date a girl, I'm not looking for somebody who makes me happy. And I feel like Jackson, when I was your age, dude, that's all I wanted, was to go look for a girl to make me happy. It was like, man, my life's going to be right if I can just find somebody to fulfill these needs. And then I'll start going to church and I'll get my life right. And I can maybe start a little cute family and we could go to church every day. And maybe I won't be that invested in church, but I'll go to church every Sunday for sure. And that's just not how it works. Like, the only person who's going to fulfill that thing in your heart, you guys all know this, and it's just one of these things that I've started to realize as a young person, is God. And this is something I kind of realized too as I was working with Bible study, and I would struggle with sin and stuff, and it's just like, man, I don't have enough support for my brothers, right? I don't feel like there's people investing in me and like making me feel good, and like I'm doing so much work and trying to disciple people and do all this stuff. I just feel like nobody's pouring into me. You heard me say this. Nobody's pouring into me. The person who's supposed to fill you up is God. It's nobody's job to fill you up but God. Like, it's the Bible, and like, we know how to be filled up, and He tells us He can fill us up. Somebody turn to 1 Timothy 6:6, please. And there's so many things that we put on the place of people that are just only meant for God, and it ruins our relationships, and we put expectations on people that they don't even know exist, and we expect them to fulfill these things and do these things, and they don't even know we want these things, right? And it's just, when I read that in this book, I don't know about you guys, but it blew my mind when I just thought about the fact that it's nobody's job to make me happy but God and mine, and it's my choice whether I'm happy or not. It's completely my choice. 1 Timothy 6:6, please.
For godliness is great gain.
That's it, right? That's what I've been working on recently. It's just, can I just be content with God? Can I not only be godly, that we're all striving to be godly, right? Can I be more than that? Strive to be content in God. Be content with the godliness that He gave me, right? And then I'm in Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, and whatsoever said I am, therewith to be content. Right? So it's not just when God's blessing you, recognizing it and being happy. It's whenever you don't even feel like you're being blessed, to know that that's what God intends for you, right? And that's the really hard thing to swallow, is that whatever God is giving me right now is the best thing for me, and I have to accept that, because He really does know better than me. And that was one of those things that I really had to learn too, is that like, I know God knows better than I do, but am I going to trust that God knows better than I do? More than in my brain, just know it, but like, is it going to be in my heart? Am I going to accept it? And am I going to, more than accept it, am I going to live my life like He knows better than me? A good example of that, just with love, and like, this is personal, but it's whatever. Like, if I was looking for a wife, right? And my brain right now, I'm 22, it'd be awesome, I'm around that age, it'd be awesome if I could start to get to that point, right? But you look around HBF, there's not a lot of people, right? And so in my brain, I'm like, maybe I should go looking for somebody, I should go out of my way, all those things. It's like, if God wanted me to have that right now, I feel like He'd provide it, right? And so that's one thing that just recently in the last year that I've had to go over and accept, is I know that God knows better, and I know what He has for me is better. But am I going to live my life like that's true? And that's something I've really struggled with. And but the more you just live it, and you guys know, because you do live it, the more you just take it personal in your life and trust it, it just... Yeah, let's turn to Ephesians 3:17 through 20, because that's what it does. That's the best way to say it. Whoever gets there can read it. Ephesians 3:17 through 20.
That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. knowledge that he might be filled with the fullness of God. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we think, ask or think, according to the power that works in us.
Yeah, so there's power in us, right? And we can be filled with the fullness of God, right? That's what we should be filled with. There's nothing else that should be filling us. If we feel like we're being fulfilled or completed by something else, then it's not correct. It's not the right type of love. It's not the appropriate type of love, right? It's not charity. And there's been a lot of times in my life where I've loved people with expectations, right? And when we're completed by God, then we're able to correctly love others. So when we let God complete us, then we can love other people the right way. And it's not the other way around. It's not when people complete us, then we're able to love God and able to be a good Christians. And I don't know if anybody else has ever thought that way, but that's genuinely how I thought, like, as a teenager. It's like, if somebody can complete me, then I can follow God. It just sounds crazy when you say it out loud. Like, it just sounds nuts. But genuinely, I was at that place in my life. And I've actually met, like, maybe you guys, you know, weren't there, but I've met people who have been there before. And so how a lot of people, like, think nowadays, how young people, it's just like, how can I be fulfilled? We live in an age of instant gratification where, like, most people's whole lives, they're just getting whatever they want and whatever makes them happy. I'm going to go do whatever I want, whatever makes me happy right now, and I'm going to be fulfilled. And eventually you become an adult and you're like, or you get to teenage years, you get to high school, like Jackson's age, and you're like, man, none of these things are making me happy. Like, I can play video games whenever I want. I can go hang out with my friends, do all these things. But, like, none of this stuff feels that important. Like, what is my goal in life? What am I going to do after high school? Like, why does that matter? Why does, like, and at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is love, right? That's why we're all here. And what this really gets to is relationships. Life is about relationships. Life is relationships. You can't get away from it. Like, everybody has three types of relationships. One with themselves, one with everybody around them, right? Doesn't mean if it's good or bad. You have a bad relationship or a good relationship with yourself and others. And then the same thing's with God, right? We all know that everybody has a relationship with God. Some of it's good, some of it's bad. But that's all life is just living relationships and living them the correct way and the correct love. And just starting to understand this is just, it's changed my life. And so this next one is not easily provoked. That was the big one for me. That just, all that stuff has just been rolling around in my mind. And when Brady asked me to teach this, I was like, I don't know how to teach this. And then I read it and I was like, okay, this is what I've just been like reading for the last couple months. This is going to be great for me. Charity isn't easily provoked. Can somebody turn to Proverbs 14 and read 16 through 17?
Proverbs 14:16-17.
A wise man hears from evil, before wind, courageous, and is confident. He that is soon angry, deadly, foolish, and a man wicked device, but is hated.
Good job, Felix. Right, so it says right there, a wise man feareth and he departeth from evil, right? They're slow to speak. We're going to read that here in a second. But a fool is rageous and he's confident. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated, right? A fool, somebody who has the wrong type of love, somebody who isn't loving people, is quick to speak. They're quick to get angry. And they're not only that, they're really confident in their anger. They feel like they're justified in their anger. And it's really easy to hurt people when you feel like you're doing it for the right reasons. And if you don't love people, it's also really easy to hurt people, especially if you don't love people the right way. And let's turn to James 1:19-20. If you beat me there, you can go ahead and read it. James 1:19-20.
Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God.
Yeah, so let every man be swift to hear, right? That's something I struggle with, right? When people are talking, not like just crafting a response to what they're saying, but actually like listening to what they're saying and trying to like get what the point of what they're saying is, like actually listening. That's something else. And slow to speak and slow to wrath, right? And that's just one thing, is we should just be slow to speak. You should listen to what people are saying, try to hear the theme of what they're saying, and try to love them with what you're saying. Everything that we say should be done out of love, right? And then when people inevitably are trying to anger us or trying to poke and prod at us, because that does happen. As I've started to like work and like with people who aren't Christians, and like I hear the way like they talk about Christianity and stuff, I'm like, okay, I get why people get so angry all the time, you know? Like it is really easy. You hear somebody say like, oh, those Baptist people are crazy, and you really want to be like, well, what are you, the Baptist, you know? But at the end of the day, if we do that, the Baptist people are crazy, you know? Like, we are exactly who they think we are if that's what we do. And so my favorite place that talks about this is in Romans 12:17-21. I'll read that. And that's something I've struggled with my boys' soccer team, because I coach some of you might not know, I coach a Christian school, and like the varsity soccer team. And I didn't go to a Christian school. I was a Christian when I was playing soccer, but I wasn't really following God that well. So as an athlete, my mindset is always like, if somebody, you know, steps up to you, you're just going to get back in their face and you're going to do that whole thing, and you know, it's going to go like this. But now as a coach, and my players are getting mad, and I'm like, I really have to tell them to back down. I have to tell them to turn the other cheek. And it's really hard for me to do personally, because I never lived that as a person. And it really, like, I have to be honest with them and be like, hey guys, that's not the way I lived and I regret it. So I need you guys to know that if you do this the right way, God's going to bless you. And at first that was really hard for me to believe. Like I said before, like I knew it, but did I really believe it? Because I'd never seen it work in my life before. But when I start to see it work in their lives, I'm like, man, I'm a real fool. If I would have just lived my life like this the whole time, God would have blessed me. Thanks, Dad. Romans 12:17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men, not just Christians, not just lost people, all of them. Divvy, beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. In so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And I think that's the part I knew, but I didn't understand, is that like, vengeance is the Lord's. Like, he will take care of his people, and it may not be in the way you want him to take care of you. Sometimes it may be the way you want him to take care of you, and you're like, oh, maybe I should not have wished for that. Maybe it'll, you know, you got to check your heart. But no matter what, the Lord will take care of you. He is capable of giving you anything above what you ask or think, right? We already read that. And so give place to the Lord to take care of you. And that goes the same thing with being self-sufficient and not wanting to, you know, let people take care of you. We don't want to let the Lord take care of us, just naturally. We're naturally dependent, but we're also naturally prideful. It's funny how it works. Like, we naturally want to be taken care of, but we also naturally don't let people take care of us. It's kind of this terrible thing. It's called flesh, and we all deal with it, right? And this next one is, thinketh no evil. So So charity thinks no evil. It's correct. It's different than everybody else, right? It's really easy in our fleshly minds to think bad about people, to think evil about people we're jealous of or we're envying of, and it talks a little bit about that in the previous verse. But let's read 1 Peter 4:1-4. Let somebody read that. 1 Peter 4:1-4.
For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. He that no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you.
right? And such were some of you, right? Like there is, like most of us were here at this point in this verse, and that's what this is that we're different now. And you see these people, they see that we're different, and they think evil about us. And that's what's different about us, is that if we have the correct love, we're not thinking evil about people, right? If you love just humanity, if you love people in general, even in their fallen state, then you're going to have high value and high opinions of everybody. Think about it this way. Every single person was designed specifically by God, right? From their mother's womb, they were known by God. That's something that was, that's always been really easy for me to like picture, because like I'm adopted, and literally from before I was born, like there was a plan for me from my parents and obviously from God. If you never heard that story, I'll tell you, it's awesome and God's good. But it's really like when you can tell that God's blessed you your whole life, it's really easy to see how God values you. And God values everybody the same way, and we should treat everybody in the way that God treats them, with that value that God has esteemed them with. We are not capable of esteeming people's value. The only person who can do that is God, and He's already done it. So all we need to do is treat people as according to as God tells us to, and the value that He's given us for them. And so that's what makes us different, because these people, they see that we're different, and they think our value's dropped. They think, you know, they think evil about us. But what they probably really think is that they've seen our value go up, and they're jealous, right? They want to know what's made us different, what's made us happy. And we should never be speaking evil. That is something that's really easy when you're talking to somebody and they just won't talk bad about people. It instantly convicts you, but it also is like, what's different about this person? And that's something that's really easy to pick up on, is when you love somebody, you're not going to have anything bad to say about them. And if we love everybody, there's nothing bad to say about anybody, right? And that's why we preach the gospel, and above all, have charity, right? And let's read verses 5 through 8 here. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that were dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And let's read this one. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Because the only thing that makes us different from those people who think evil about us is charity. That's the only thing that makes us different. And that's, I saw, when I read this, I was like, wow, that's crazy. Everything I'm like looking for is right here in this little chapter, right? Like, these people who think evil, it's because they don't have charity, and that's why we preach the gospel, right? That's what this is saying to us, and it's just so good, and that's what makes us different. And every man has received a gift, and so ministers the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, right? That's what we're called to do, is we're called to love people, and we're called to show people love. And that's really, like, as men, we're like, oh, let's go to battle, and let's go win people to Christ, let's go take people who are captive the devil at his will. But really what we need to do is just go love people more than anybody else. And like, are we prepared to go love people more than anybody else, right? It's not cool, and we don't have swords in our hands, but what we need to do is just like bare our hearts to people and just show them how much God values them and cares about them. Because there's a lot of people in the world right now who don't place any value on themselves whatsoever, right? They feel down, or like, and maybe you don't see that because they seem really prideful, but really they're just trying to make up for the fact that they just don't feel worthful at all. And there's a lot of people who don't feel any worth, right? And none of us would be worth anything if it wasn't for God. And that's what we're trying to show these people, right? And this last thing, and we'll be done, is rejoiceth not in iniquity, but in truth. And if we have charity, we'll naturally love good and abhor evil. Can somebody read Romans 12:9 for me? Romans 12:9.
Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good.
Yeah, we should hate evil. If we have the love of God in our hearts, then there's no place for evil in our hearts, because we're already filled with the fullness of God, right? If we're filled, then there's no place for evil. That's already being poured out, and we hate it. And we should rejoice in the good things. And what does that say? It says cleave. I'll read that again. 12:9. Cleave to that which is good, right? Cleave to the good things. Cleave to the truth. Let's read Joshua 23:8-11. Joshua 23:8-11. I'll read that real quick. But cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. So just like you guys have done unto this day, keep cleaving unto God. For the Lord has driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase a thousand. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, and he hath promised you. Right? There are thousands of people that rejoice in iniquity right now. In Harrisonville, there's thousands of people in Cass County that just love evil. They hate good. And when you think about that, it's overwhelming, right? But that's what God has for us, is to chase a thousand people. Each one of us can chase a thousand people down. And each one of us can chase a thousand people down. That's what it says. We can be like Abraham and his hired servants, right? There was only 300 of them, but they could go whoop anybody who came up on them, right? And that's what we're looking for, is we should be able to be special agents for God. And right, and we think about that, and we're chasing these people down, and we got swords, but we're special agents of love. And we're chasing people with love, and we're pursuing people in the way God would pursue the lost lamb, right? The one out of the 99. It's exactly what God would do. Chase people with love. That's what he did, because he loves people. And it's not because we have any power. It's because, let's read that one more time, because I actually had never seen this before. Verse 10. One man of you shall chase a thousand, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, and he hath promised you. He's already promised that we're going to chase down a thousand people, but are we going to do it? All we got to do is walk outside, and he's going to do the rest. All we have to do is love people. All we have to do is show people that we care, and he'll give us the stuff to know, right? He'll open their hearts. But, and there's a lot of stuff, and I know, like, over the years, there's been a lot of hate about, let's be friends with somebody before we evangelize to them. And that's definitely, like, you know, a lot of people just do that so they don't have to evangelize to people. Like, let's be honest, that's what happens. But, like, that's, like, it's not about being friends, because if you really love somebody, you're going to tell them the truth, right? And you can be friendly and you can love somebody in the right way and still not hide the truth from them, right? And that's what we should be doing, is just reflecting love constantly. That's what we are. It's just reflections of God. That's all I got. You want to pray real quick? Love God, love people. I don't know how I missed that in there, but
I know, something insane.
Yeah, no, that was